Chapter 32. Dangerous Words.
Lord Barthanas's manor crouched like a huge toad in the night, covering as much ground as a fortress with all its walls and outbuildings. It was no fortress, though, with tall windows everywhere, and lights, and the sound of music and laughter drifting out. Yet Rand saw guards moving on the tower tops and along the roof walks, and none of the windows were close to the ground. He got down from Red's back and smoothed his coat, adjusted his sword belt. The others dismounted around him, at the foot of broad, white stone stairs leading up to the wide, heavily carved doors of the manor. 10 Shinarans under Uno made an escort. The one-eyed man exchanged small nods with Ingtar before taking his men to join the other escorts, where ale had been provided and a whole ox was roasting on a spit by a big fire. The other 10 Shinarans had been left behind, along with Perrin. Every one of them had to be there for a purpose, Varen had said, and Perrin had no purpose to serve this night. An escort was necessary for dignity in Cariennan eyes, but more than 10 would seem suspicious. Rand was there because he had received the invitation. Ingtar had come to lend the prestige of his title, while Loyal was there because Ogier were sought after in the upper reaches of the Cariennan nobility. Huron pretended to be Ingtar's body servant. His true purpose was to sniff out the Dark Friends and Trollocs if he could. The Horn of Valyr should not be far from them. Matt, still grumbling about it, was pretending to be Rand's servant, since he could feel the dagger when it was close. If Huron failed, perhaps he could find the Dark Friends. When Rand had asked Varen why she was there, she had only smiled and said, "To keep the rest of you out of trouble." As they mounted the stairs, Matt muttered, "I still don't see why I have to be a servant." He and Huron followed behind the others. "Burn me, if Rand can be a lord, I can put on a fancy coat, too." "A servant," Varen said without looking back at him, "can go many places another man cannot, and many nobles will not even see him. You and Huron have your tasks."
"Be quiet now, Matt," Ingtar put in, "unless you want to give us away."
They were approaching the doors, where half a dozen guards stood with the tree and crown of House Damodred on their chests, and an equal number of men in dark green livery with tree and crown on the sleeve. Taking a deep breath, Rand proffered the invitation. "I am Lord Rand of House Althor," he said, all in a rush, to get it over with. "And these are my guests, Varen Aes Sedai of the Brown Aja, Lord Ingtar of House Shinoa in Shinar, Loyal, son of Arendt, son of Hallen, from Steading Shangtai." Loyal had asked that his steading be left out of it, but Varen insisted they needed every bit of formality they could offer. The servant who had reached for the invitation with a perfunctory bow gave a little jerk at each additional name. His eyes popped at Varen's. In a strangled voice he said,
"Be welcome in House Damodred, my lords. Be welcome, Aes Sedai. Be welcome, friend Ogier."
He waved the other servants to open the doors wide and bowed Rand and the others inside, where he hurriedly passed the invitation to another liveried man and whispered in his ear. This man had the tree and crown large on the chest of his green coat.
"Aes Sedai," he said, using his long staff to make a bow, almost bending his head to his knees, to each of them in turn.
"My lords, friend Ogier, I am called Ashen. Please to follow me."
The outer hall held only servants, but Ashen led them to a great room filled with nobles, with a juggler performing at one end and tumblers at the other. Voices and music coming from elsewhere said these were not the only guests or the only entertainments. The nobles stood in twos and threes and fours, sometimes men and women together, sometimes only one or the other, always with careful space between, so no one could overhear what was said. The guests wore the dark Cariennan colors, each with bright stripes at least halfway down his or her chest, and some had them all the way to their waists. The women had their hair piled high in elaborate towers of curls, every one different, and their dark skirts were so wide they would have had to turn sideways to pass through any doorway narrower than those of the manor. None of the men had the shaved heads of soldiers. They all wore dark velvet hats over long hair, some shaped like bells, others flat. And as with the women, lace ruffles like dark ivory almost hid their hands. Ashen wrapped his staff and announced them in a loud voice, Varen first. They drew every eye. Varen wore her brown-fringed shawl embroidered in grapevines. The announcement of an Aes Sedai sent a murmur through the lords and ladies and made the juggler drop one of his hoops, though no one was watching him any longer. Loyal received almost as many looks, even before Ashen spoke his name. Despite the silver embroidery on collar and sleeves, the otherwise unrelieved black of Rand's coat made him seem almost stark beside the Kyrianin, and his and Ingtar's swords drew many glances. None of the lords appeared to be armed. Rand heard the words Heronmark Blade more than once. Some of the glances he was receiving looked like frowns. He suspected they came from men he had insulted by burning their invitations. A slim, handsome man approached. He had long, graying hair, and multi-hued stripes crossed the front of his deep gray coat from his neck almost to the hem just above his knees. He was extremely tall for a Kyrianin, no more than half a head shorter than Rand, and he had a way of standing that made him seem even taller, with his chin up, so he seemed to be looking down at everyone else. His eyes were black pebbles. He looked warily at Varen, though.
"Grace honors me with your presence, Aes Sedai."
Barthanas Damodred's voice was deep and sure. His gaze swept across the others.
"I did not expect so distinguished a company. Lord Ingtar, friend Ogier."
His bow to each was little more than a nod of the head. Barthanas knew exactly how powerful he was.
"And you, my young Lord Rand, you excite much comment in the city and in the houses. Perhaps we will have a chance to talk this night."
His tone said that he would not miss it if the chance never came, that he had not been excited to any comment, but his eyes slid a fraction before he caught them to Ingtar and Loyal, and to Varen.
"Be welcome."
He let himself be drawn away by a handsome woman who laid a beringed hand buried in lace on his arm, but his gaze drifted back to Rand as he walked away. The murmur of conversation picked up once more, and the juggler spun his hoops again in a narrow loop that almost reached the worked plaster ceiling, a good 4 spans up. The tumblers had never stopped. A woman leaped into the air from the cupped hands of one of her compatriots, her oiled skin shining in the light of 100 lamps as she spun and landed on her feet on the hands of a man who was already standing atop another's shoulders. He lifted her up on outstretched arms as the man below raised him in the same way, and she spread her arms as if for applause. None of the Kyrianin seemed to notice. Varen and Ingtar drifted into the crowd. The Shinaran received a few wary looks. Some looked at the Aes Sedai with wide eyes, others with the worried frowns of those finding a rabid wolf within arm's reach. The latter came from men more often than women, and some of the women spoke to her. Rand realized that Matt and Huron had already disappeared to the kitchens, where all the servants who had come with the guests would be gathering until sent for. He hoped they would not have trouble sneaking away. Loyal bent down to speak for his ear alone.
"Rand, there is a waygate nearby. I can feel it."
"You mean this was an Ogier grove?" Rand said softly, and Loyal nodded.
"Steading Tsofu had not been found again when it was planted, or the Ogier who helped build Al-Kair, Ra, Hienalan, would not have needed a grove to remind them of the steading. This was all forest when I came through Kyrian before, and belonged to the king."
"Barthanas probably took it away in some plot."
Rand looked around the room nervously. Everyone was still talking, but more than a few were watching the Ogier and him. He could not see Ingtar. Varen stood at the center of a knot of women. "I wish we could stay together."
"Varen says not, Rand. She says it would make them all suspicious and angry, thinking we were holding ourselves aloof. We have to allay suspicion until Matt and Huron find whatever they find."
"I heard what she said as well as you, Loyal. But I still say, if Barthanas is a dark friend, then he must know why we're here. Going off by ourselves is just asking to be knocked on the head."
"Varen says he won't do anything until he finds out whether he can make use of us. Just do what she told us, Rand. Aes Sedai know what they are about."
Loyal walked into the crowd, gathering a circle of lords and ladies before he had gone 10 steps. Others started toward Rand, now that he was alone, but he turned in the other direction and hurried away.
"Aes Sedai may know what they're about, but I wish I did. I don't like this. Light, but I wish I knew if she was telling the truth. Aes Sedai never lie, but the truth you hear may not be the truth you think it is.
He kept moving to avoid talking with the nobles. There were many other rooms, all filled with lords and ladies, all with entertainers, 3 different gleemen in their cloaks, more jugglers and tumblers, and musicians playing flutes, bitterns, dulcimers, and lutes, plus 5 different sizes of fiddle, 6 kinds of horn, straight or curved or curled, and 10 sizes of drum from timbre to kettle. He gave some of the horn players a second look, those with curled horns, but the instruments were all plain brass.
They wouldn't have the Horn of Valir out here, fool, he thought. Not unless Barthanas means to have dead heroes come as part of the entertainment.
There was even a bard in silver-worked Tyran boots and a yellow coat, strolling through the rooms, plucking his harp and sometimes stopping to declaim in high chant. He glared contemptuously at the gleeman and did not linger in the rooms where they were, but Rand saw little difference between him and them except for their clothes. Suddenly Barthanas was walking by Rand's side. A liveried servant immediately offered his silver tray with a bow. Barthanas took a blown glass goblet of wine. Walking backwards ahead of them, still bowing, the servant held the tray toward Rand until Rand shook his head, then melted into the crowd.
"You seem restless," Barthanas said, sipping.
"I like to walk."
Rand wondered how to follow Varen's advice, and remembering what she had said about his visit to the Ommerlin, he settled into Cat Crosses the Courtyard. He knew no more arrogant way to walk than that. Barthanas's mouth tightened, and Rand thought perhaps the lord found it too arrogant. But Varen's advice was all he had to go by, so he did not stop. To take some of the edge off, he said pleasantly, "This is a fine party. You have many friends, and I've never seen so many entertainers."
"Many friends," Barthanas agreed. "You can tell Galdrian how many and who. Some of the names may surprise you."
"I have never met the king, Lord Barthanas, and I don't expect I ever will."
"Of course. You just happen to be in that flyspeck village. You are not checking on the progress of retrieving that statue. A great undertaking, that."
"Yes."
He had begun thinking of Varen again, wishing she had given him some advice on how to talk with a man who assumed he was lying. He added without blinking, "It's dangerous to meddle with things from the Age of Legends if you don't know what you are doing."
Barthanas peered into his wine, musing as if Rand had just said something profound.
"Are you saying you do not support Galdrian in this?"
he asked finally.
"I told you, I've never met the king."
"Yes, of course. I did not know Andermann played at the great game so well. We do not see many here in Cairhien."
Rand took a deep breath to stop from telling the man angrily that he was not playing their game.
"There are many grain barges from Andor in the river."
"Merchants and traders. Who notices such as they? As well notice the beetles on the leaves."
Barthanas's voice carried equal contempt for both beetles and merchants. But once again he frowned as if Rand had hinted at something.
"Not many men travel in company with Aes Sedai. You seem too young to be a warder. I suppose Lord Ingtar is Varen Sedai's warder."
"We are who we said we are," Rand said, and grimaced. "Except me."
Barthanas was studying Rand's face almost openly.
"Young. Young to carry a Heronmark blade."
"I am less than a year old," Rand said automatically, and immediately wished he had it back.
It sounded foolish to his ear, but Varen had said act as he had with the Ommerlin seat, and that was the answer Lan had given him. A borderman considered the day he was given his sword to be his name day.
"So, an Anderman and yet borderland trained. Or is it warder trained?"
Barthanas' eyes narrowed, studying Rand.
"I understand Morghese has only one son, named Gawain, I have heard. You must be much like him in age."
"I have met him," Rand said cautiously.
"Those eyes, that hair. I have heard the Andoran royal line has almost Aiel coloring in their hair and eyes."
Rand stumbled, though the floor was smooth marble.
"I'm not Aiel, Lord Barthanas, and I'm not of the royal line either."
"As you say. You have given me much to think on. I believe we may find common ground when we talk again."
Barthanas nodded and raised his glass in a small salute, then turned to speak to a gray-haired man with many stripes of color down his coat. Rand shook his head and moved on, away from more conversation. It had been bad enough talking to one Kyrianan lord. He did not want to risk two. Barthanas appeared to find deep meanings in the most trivial comments. Rand realized he had just now learned enough of Deus de Mar to know he had no idea at all how it was played.
"Matt, Huron, find something fast so we can get out of here. These people are crazy."
And then he entered another room, and the gleeman at the end of it, strumming his harp and reciting a tale from the Great Hunt of the Horn, was Tom Marilyn. Rand stopped dead. Tom did not seem to see him, though the gleeman's gaze passed over him twice. It seemed that Tom had meant what he said. A clean break. Rand turned to go, but a woman stepped smoothly in front of him and put a hand on his chest, the lace falling back from a soft wrist. Her head did not quite come to his shoulder, but her tall array of curls easily reached as high as his eyes. The high neck of her gown put lace ruffles under her chin, and the stripes covered the front of her dark blue dress below her breasts.
"I am Elaine Chuliandred, and you are the famous Randall Thor. In Barthanas' own manner, I suppose he has the right to speak to you first, but we are all fascinated by what we hear of you. I even hear that you play the flute. Can it be true?"
"I play the flute."
"How did she?"
"Caldwyn. Light, everybody does hear everything in Kyrian. If you will excuse me."
"I have heard that some outland lords play music, but I never believed it. I would like very much to hear you play. Perhaps you will talk with me of this and that. Barthanas seemed to find your conversation fascinating. My husband spends his days sampling his own vineyards and leaves me quite alone. He is never there to talk with me."
"You must miss him," Rand said, trying to edge around her and her wide skirts. She gave a tinkling laugh, as if he had said the funniest thing in the world. Another woman sidled in beside the first, and another hand was laid on his chest. She wore as many stripes as Elaine, and they were both of an age, a good 10 years older than he.
"Do you think to keep him to yourself, Elaine?"
The two women smiled at each other, while their eyes threw daggers. The second turned her smile on Rand.
"I am Bellavere O'Celan. Are all Andamen so tall and so handsome?"
He cleared his throat.
Some are as tall. Pardon me, but if you will..."
"I saw you talking with Barthanas. They say you know Galdrian as well. You must come to see me and talk. My husband is visiting our estates in the south."
"You have the subtlety of a tavern wench," Elaine hissed at her, and immediately was smiling up at Rand.
"She has no polish. No man could like a woman with a manner so rough. Bring your flute to my manor, and we will talk. Perhaps you will teach me to play?" "What Elaine thinks of as subtlety," Bellavere said sweetly, "is but lack of courage. A man who wears a heron-mark sword must be brave. That truly is a heron-mark blade, is it not?"
Rand tried backing away from them. "If you will just excuse me, I..." They followed step for step until his back hit the wall. The width of their skirts together made another wall in front of him. He jumped as a third woman crowded in beside the other two, her skirts joining theirs to the wall on that side. She was older than they, but just as pretty, with an amused smile that did not lessen the sharpness of her eyes. She wore half again as many stripes as Elaine and Bellavere. They made tiny curtsies and glared at her sullenly.
"Are these two spiders trying to toil you in their webs?"
The older woman laughed.
"Half the time they tangle themselves more firmly than anyone else. Come with me, my fine young Anderman, and I will tell you some of the troubles they would give you. For one thing, I have no husband to worry about. Husbands always make trouble."
Over Elaine's head, he could see Tom straightening from a bow to no applause or notice whatsoever. With a grimace, the gleeman snatched a goblet from a tray of a startled servant.
"I see someone I must speak to," Rand told the women, and squeezed out of the box they had put him in just as the last woman reached for his arm. All three stared after him as he hurried to the gleeman. Tom eyed him over the lip of the goblet, then took another long swallow.
Tom, I know you said a clean break, but I had to get away from those women. All they wanted to talk about was their husbands being away, but they were already hinting at other things.
Tom choked on his wine, and Rand slapped his back.
You drink too fast, and something always goes down the wrong way. Tom, they think I am plotting with Barthanas, or maybe Galdrian, and I don't think they will believe me when I say I'm not. I just needed an excuse to leave them.
Tom stroked his long mustaches with one knuckle and peered across the room at the three women. They were still standing together, watching Rand and him.
I recognize those three, boy. Brianna Taborwin alone would give you an education such as every man should have at least once in his life, if he can live through it. Worried about their husbands. I like that, boy.
Abruptly, his eyes sharpened.
You told me you were clear of Aes Sedai. Half the talk here tonight is of the Andoran Lord, appearing with no warning, and an Aes Sedai at his side. Barthanas and Galdrian. You've let the White Tower put you in the cooking pot this time.
She only came yesterday, Tom, and as soon as the horn is safe, I'll be free of them again. I mean to see to it.
You sound as if it isn't safe now, Tom said slowly. You didn't sound that way before.
Dark friends stole it, Tom. They brought it here. Barthanas is one of them.
Tom seemed to study his wine, but his eyes darted to make sure no one was close enough to listen. More than the three women were watching them with sideways glances while pretending to talk among themselves, but every knot maintained its distance from every other. Still, Tom spoke softly.
A dangerous thing to say if it isn't true, and more dangerous if it is. An accusation like that against the most powerful man in the kingdom? You say he has the horn? I suppose you're after my help again now that you're tangled with the White Tower once more.
No.
He had decided Tom had been right, even if the gleeman did not know why. He could not involve anyone else in his troubles.
I just wanted to get away from those women.
The gleeman blew out his mustaches, taken aback.
Well, yes. That is well. The last time I helped you, I got a limp out of it, and you seem to have let yourself be tied to Tarvalin strings again. You'll have to get yourself out of it this time.
He sounded as if he were trying to convince himself.
I will, Tom, I will. Just as soon as the horn is safe and Matt has that bloody dagger back. Matt, Huron, where are you?
As if the thought had been a summons, Huron appeared in the room, eyes searching among the lords and ladies. They looked through him. Servants did not exist unless needed. When he found Rand and Tom, he made his way between the small clusters of nobles and bowed to Rand.
My lord, I was sent to tell you. Your manservant had a fall and twisted his knee. I don't know how bad, my lord.
For a moment, Rand stared before he understood. Conscious of all the eyes on him, he spoke loudly enough for the nobles closest to overhear.
Clumsy fool! What good is he to me if he can't walk? I suppose I'd better come see how badly he's hurt himself.
It seemed to be the right thing to say. Huron sounded relieved when he bowed again and said,
As my lord wishes, if my lord will follow me.
You play very well at being a lord, Tom said softly, but remember this. Kyrianen may play Deus de Mar, but it was the White Tower made the great game in the first place. Watch yourself, boy.
With a glare at the nobles, he set his empty goblet on the tray of a passing servant and strolled away, plucking his harp. He began reciting Goodwife Millie and the Silk Merchant.
Lead on, man, Rand told Huron, feeling foolish.
As he followed the sniffer out of the room, he could feel the eyes following him.